The scripture reading that is here on your program is Psalm 101, but since the message comes right after that, I'm going to read again our Luke passage so that we are refreshed in our mind for the sermon which follows. So if you will permit me so to do, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, and the text there is a personal translation from the Greek New Testament, and that is why it sounds a little different from what you may be reading. Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 36 through to verse 49. And while they were speaking these things among themselves, he himself stood in the midst of them and began saying, "Peace to you." And they were startled and became terrified, thinking they are seeing a ghost or a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And on what account are doubts rising up in your hearts? See, my hands, my feet, and I am he. Touch me. See that the spirit have not flesh and bone, as you see me have." And after he said this, he showed them the hands and the feet. And still, while they were disbelieving, from the joy and amazement, he said, "Do you have anything to eat here?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he received it before them, and he ate it. And he said to them, "These are my words which I had spoken to you while I was still with you, that it is necessary to be fulfilled all that which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and be raised from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all ethnicities, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to this, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But you stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we began our study looking at a post-resurrection experience and trying to ascertain some principles that could be applicable to us as they were to the disciples who first experienced this particular circumstance. We set out to make three observations from this text that can change and challenge our lives and our hearts. The first observation we made was that as we are here, we should realize from this text that the risen Savior still stands within our midst and pronounces peace in our troubled hearts. All of us, we opine, struggle with different circumstances in our lives. But we should never forget that the Lord continues to extend, to pronounce, to send out his peace as we struggle. But we also observe, secondly, that the risen Savior desires to recalibrate our troubled hearts to believing hearts. Sometimes when we go through difficulties, the challenge is to remain straight, is to remain faithful to our faith. As we think about what is happening over the world, we realize that Christianity is under tremendous persecution. Just last week, during the Easter celebration, a church in Sri Lanka was bombed, and several places in Sri Lanka was bombed, targeting Christians. Hundreds, about 200 plus, including women and children, died as an act of terrorism against the church. The time has come for us as believers to recalibrate our views, our hearts, the way we look at life, to trust God in spite of what is happening, because the rest of the world depends on it. I would like to close this discourse with the final point. The final point then is that the risen Savior intended to confirm the plan of God and challenge his disciples to engage God's program and God's purpose. We want to pick up the discourse then from the verse 23 as we look at the text. Okay, here we are. So the Bible says, rather, verse 44, that he had asked, verse 43, had asked for the fish, and he received it before them, and he ate it. Now, verse 44 says, and he said to them, these are my words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that it is necessary to be fulfilled all that which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to this. It is very important for us to know that in this situation, Jesus does something that is very interesting. The Bible says that he opened their minds. I wonder, what is it? Why is it that it was important for him to open their minds? You see, sometimes when we are going through our struggles, sometimes when we are going through our difficulties, as these disciples were, our consciousness, our understanding, our perception of life is skewed and clouded and distorted by our problems. I would imagine that as they wrestled with the death of Jesus, they wrestled with the fact that he was buried and was supposed to be the Messiah, would be something that, having crushed them, would confuse them. And the Bible says that as he comes and breathes peace on them, as he comes and proves that he is preeminent by showing them that he was bodily raised, that it was necessary for them to be opened in their understanding. In fact, the word that translates the opening here, dianoigo, it literally means a male that opens the womb. In other words, a firstborn. Figuratively, it means, it talks of the eyes or the ears or the heart or the mind being enabled, as allowing someone to perceive or to understand or to interpret something that was hidden or was obscure. And I like this because sometimes we have a wrong perspective on life. We have a wrong perspective of our situation. We have a wrong perspective of our circumstances. And what Jesus did was to remove the cloud, was to remove the confusion, was to remove the uncertainty that God's program is on track. Although he was killed, although he was murdered, although he suffered an act of terrorism, he was saying to his disciples, you do not need to be dismayed because the program is on track. And I want to say to us, as we struggle, as we go through this life until we see our Savior, let us realize that the program is still on track. All that is happening in our world today, the bombings, the terrorism, the persecution of those of us who are Christians, let us not forget, God will prevail. God will prevail, and the program is not thwarted in the least. It is not time to surrender. It is not time to give up. It is not time for us to throw in the proverbial towel. There are so many of us in our own circumstances, we ask the question, why am I even serving God? If all that I'm going through is so hard, is so difficult, is so problematic, why am I still serving God? And the answer is, it is not over. It is not finished. God has work for us to do yet. And he wanted his disciples to understand what was happening. He told them, now, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law and the prophet of Moses must come to pass. And as he opened their minds, he said to them, it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sin will be proclaimed in his name to all ethnic groups. So as he opens the minds of the disciple, he does something else. And by the way, Jesus will open our minds. If we are allowing him, if we are spending time in fellowship with him, he now outlines God's programming. So he opens their understanding. Secondly, he outlines God's programming. Verse 47. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, please understand that this is significant. The preaching of the gospel, the word there is kerusso, denoting an official activity of herald, of announcing, proclaiming publicly, making known extensively, telling everywhere, in a religious sense, denoting a proclamation of sacred, a sacred message. In other words, Jesus was saying, it is not time to hide away. It is not time to be despondent. But now it is time to tell of the goodness of God. Now it is time to preach the word of God. Now it is time to proclaim that repentance. And now notice that he says to proclaim in his name. I would like to think that associated with this is the Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20 commission, where he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on the earth. All authority is given unto me. Having gone therefore, make disciples of all ethnicity, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So now these disciples were now being commissioned. So they are moving from a point of perplexity. They are moving from a point of problems. They are being moved into a recalibrated faith. And they are now being given a program. They are now being given a purpose. It is not time to hide behind doors. It is time to get out there and to tell people what has happened. That God, in his love, send the Christ to pay for sins. That mankind can be truly liberated from their sin, from their shame, from their disgrace. And it will be done in the name of this crucified Lord. Amen. I love the sound of that. I love the fact that Jesus tells them that. And he says two things. He says that repentance for forgiveness of sin. Now, we as the Church of Jesus Christ are the legacy of this experience. We who name this same name, Jesus, are responsible to carry out this program. The program, first of all, must be one about metanoia, repentance. The word here, strictly, it means a subsequent correction. Religiously and morally, it means a change of mind or leading to the change of behavior. It means turning about. It means as a change of opinion in respect to one's act and in respect to remorse. The old preachers used to say it means from turning away from sin and turning to God. They were to preach repentance. When Jesus came out, Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is within your reach. And so the disciples were challenged to preach a gospel of repentance. Unfortunately, we are in a day and age where repentance is no longer or is hardly preached. People are offended by the notion of the cross. People are offended by the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you, in this devil-filled world, nothing is more important than the preaching of repentance. Because without repentance, there is no salvation. And people, men and women, boys and girls, will die and go to hell in their sins if we do not preach in the name of Jesus, repentance. So we challenge them to preach repentance. And he challenged them to preach the forgiveness of sins. That word there, aphesis. It talks of release. Talks of liberation. It speaks of an obligation or a debt cancellation. To preach that people no longer need to walk in sin and in enmity between them and God. People no longer need to walk and live in guilt, in shame, and in disgrace. I believe the author of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, if you would, could you go with me there? It is that significant. Hebrews chapter 2, reading from verse 14. He says something that is very critical here, and it puts this message that Jesus gave to the disciples in perspective. Look at it. Verse 14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity,
so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free, there's our word, free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death, for surely it is not angel he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make, there it is again, atonement for what? The sins of people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He's able to help those who are being tempted. So these disciples were being given a program of repentance where they could go to people and challenge them to turn from their way of life and to turn to God, where they could go to people and tell them about the opportunity to have their sins forgiven, their lives repurposed as a child of God. They were held in slavery. They were held in sin, shame, and disgrace, controlled by Satan. And Jesus was now saying it was time to preach forgiveness of sins. In Adam, all died. This world was plunged in darkness, sin and shame, with the world devil-filled, run amok of the human condition. But now hope at last, freedom at last has come. Man can now have a true relationship with God. And they were charged with this program. And so are we. We can give all the excuses we would like to give why we cannot tell this gospel. But please understand that we stand on the shoulders of many who took this gospel seriously. We would not have been saved today had it not been for their faithfulness. What are we now going to do with it? The next generation is depending on us. The next generation is looking to us to be faithful with the preaching, the caruso of metanoia, repentance and aphasis, forgiveness. People who are on drugs, people who are lost in gangs, people who are hooked on pornography, people who are involved in the sex slave trade, people who are involved in corporate corruption and in tyrannical leadership need to hear that they need to turn from their wicked ways and serve Almighty God. Need to know that their guilt, their sin, and their shame, which is dragging them hopelessly to hell, can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus. It is not time to play church. It is time to preach the gospel. Please note that he says something that is very critical for us in this age. He says it must be preached espanta taethne, unto all ethnicity. You translate it in your text, to all nations. The word there, taethne, is symbolic of the nations that were around at that time. All ethnicities. The gospel is not just for one ethnic group. In fact, this was very troubling for the disciples, because the disciples were Jews. And to tell a Jew that he needs to be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles was an insult. Because to the Jew, the Gentiles were dogs. The Gentiles were outcasts. The Gentiles were not a part of the commonwealth of God. And so what Jesus was telling his disciples was that there is no longer any Jew, there is no longer any Greek, any Parthians, any nations, that all were equal before God. So the issue of prejudice must no longer become part of them. As Jews, they were now to cross the boundaries and go to all with the gospel. The gospel was no longer, the gospel is not for a select few. And in this day and age, where there's so much segregation, where there's so much prejudice and racism, we as God's church need to echo the gospel to those who are both the perpetrators of racism and to those who are prejudiced against. That the gospel is for all. He says, preach it to all nations. One of the texts, he says, you must begin in Jerusalem, then go to Samaria, then go to Judea, and then to the utmost parts of the world. All need to know that God loves the world, and he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This world needs this gospel. This world today, where there is Jews against Arabs, black against white, and Latino against this and that, need to hear that God loves the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. We have a gospel of love for all. Jesus challenges them. Start at home. Preach the good news to everyone. He says something that is very critical here. Jesus, so first, he opens their understanding. Then he outlines the program. And then finally, he orders what they should be doing. He says, and you are witnesses, humes martyres tuton. You are witnesses of this. The word martyres, or witness, comes from the Greek word martos. Generally, as one who testifies, as one who declares facts directly known to him or herself from a first-hand knowledge. They were called to speak about what they had observed. Can I ask a question? Are we telling people about our Lord? When was the last time you stopped someone and shared with them what Jesus is doing in your life? We are still martyrs. We are still witnesses. We are still required to testify. And I have always asked this question. If Jesus was on trial and our testimony would have been the only thing to exonerate, to set him free, would he be sent to prison? Would your testimony be enough to clear Jesus as Lord in this life? They were to be witnesses. And not only were they to be witnesses, he did something that is very interesting that we should not miss as we close. He says to them, he says, you are witnesses to these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. In other words, don't go run off in your own strength. Because this kind of ministry, this kind of ministration, this kind of program is not done by self. It is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So he promised them. In the book of John, the Bible said he blew on them as a deposit for what was to come at Pentecost. Brothers and sisters, life can throw whatever it wants to throw at us. But not only does God give peace and he recalibrate our faith, but he wants to give us and has given to his church the Holy Spirit, which is the enabling that we will use to push against the gates of hell and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. We cannot do it in our strength. We need the power of God. As you go through your life, let us wait. We know that the Spirit has come. Pentecost has happened. We are indwelled with the Spirit. But many of us are not filled with the Spirit. Paul says, be not drunken with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, that word fill there is plero, which means that we are to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. We are to fellowship with the Spirit of God that he may empower us to carry the gospel, to carry the good news, because we are up against a real enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. It is not a joke. This world is a serious world. And if we do not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we stand to fail. And we cannot afford to fail, because the next generation depends on us. He opened their minds, their understanding. He outlines God's program and he orders what they ought to be doing. I know it is not easy, but it is possible. Let us allow God to open our minds. Let us allow God, as we, as his believers, reflect, to outline what he would have us to do. Sometimes we too much want to do our own thing. We will have our own agenda. And let us obey the orders set before us by giving witness to the repentance and forgiveness of sin. Amen.